morning. It's time for the Property Pulse here at 96.7 TSA-FM. Every single Wednesday morning, we talk real estate stuff. And with me this morning is real estate lawyer Kevin Rogers from SkiCountryLegal.com. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Tom. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. I appreciate you hanging in here with me. And yeah, I love the Property Pulse. And what are we going to talk about today?
Yeah, so today we're going to talk about taxes and real estate transactions. So
taxes.
Something nobody likes to talk about, but affects everybody. So
absolutely. We need it.
Yes.
And, yeah.
So a little disclaimer just before this. So I'm just going to be talking about taxes as they pertain to real estate deals. I am not an accountant. You should certainly confirm all tax implications with your accountant. I just go over with what you can expect in run-of-the-mill real estate deal.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
All right. So first, we're going to talk about taxes that the seller might owe at the time of closing, because this is a pretty big issue every time we talk to a seller or a buyer, really.
Right.
Really, in Vermont, the only thing that we're required to collect from sellers at the time of closing is if the seller is an out-of-state resident, which we see pretty frequently up here.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of vacation homes, second homes, those sort of things that sell. Mm-hmm. So the state of Vermont collects 2.5% of the total sale price of the property. They collect that from the seller at closing, and it is sent to the state of Vermont. And it is used as an estimate on what the seller's capital gains tax liability is going to be. Mm-hmm. And I know this... I feel very boring talking about this.
That's okay. We need to know.
Yeah.
That's why we're the Property Pulse.
Yeah. So so it's 2.5% from the seller's proceeds gets sent up to the state of Vermont. And it's used as an estimate of what the seller is going to owe the state for a capital gains tax. It hasn't always been this way. But the state found, particularly for out-of-state sellers, that they were failing to file Vermont income tax returns based on their sales in Vermont.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was really hard for them to go after out-of-state sellers after they didn't have property here anymore.
Right.
So now they just make us collect something from them up front. And like I said, this is just an estimate on what the capital gains tax liability is going to be. There is a process that we can follow prior to closing to help reduce or eliminate that amount altogether if we can show the state that the seller is not making, you know, significant capital gains on the transaction.
So, right.
Something that you should speak with your attorney about and your accountant about, certainly, just to see what the best method for remitting those taxes would be.
Right.
It's
different in every state.
It is different in every state. And so that's kind of where we get into the buyer's taxes. So I know in a lot of other states, the seller is responsible for paying all the taxes related to a transaction.
Okay.
In Vermont, we break it up. You know, the seller's got their own tax. The buyer has their own tax.
Yes.
So that is one thing to be aware of, because it does catch out-of-state people off guard when they, you know, look at their settlement statement and say, what are the, you know, thousands of dollars in taxes that I'm paying here? Doesn't the seller
pay
those?
Yes, right.
Right. So the
is it a first house thing that they pay capital gains on and you don't have to pay it again, do you? You know what I'm saying?
You know, I'm not quite sure about that.
Okay.
I just know for, you know, every transaction we do up here for out-of-state sellers, that's the procedure that we need to follow.
Got you.
Yeah. So with the buyer, the buyer's responsible for paying what's called a property transfer tax. And this is a one-time tax that goes to the state of Vermont for most purchases. There are some exceptions, but in most cases, when you're purchasing real estate, you're going to be paying this tax. And it's kind of interesting how it's developed over the last few years. So when I first started doing this, the transfer tax rate was 1.45% of the sale price.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just across the board for all buyers.
Mm-hmm.
The state has since broken it out to tax second homeowners at a higher rate, which has been kind of controversial. The change went through August 1st of last year. And it specifies that the transfer tax rate has increased for non-primary residences from 1.47% up to 3.62%. So pretty significant increase there for second homeowners. And it's not even, it applies to all second homes. So even if you're a resident of Vermont and you're just buying another property, like to rent out or, you know, just have a place up north, something like that.
Yeah.
You're still subject to that, you know, higher rate.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So that's caused quite a few issues. It's the highest tax rate in the country for this sort of thing.
Wow.
So the state really did it to encourage people to buy primary residences and to curb the use of short-term rentals in the state to a certain extent.
Yeah.
They included a carve-out in the legislation to give a tax break to people who agree to rent the property out long term. So anything longer than 30 consecutive days, the state is allowing us to reduce that rate from 3.62 back down to 1.47.
Yeah.
So they're really trying to incentivize people to, you know, stop using their properties as short-term rentals.
Yeah. And there won't be any properties anymore for anyone to buy. They keep doing that.
Yeah, or rent, right?
Yeah, right.
There's a big issue with, you know, people who live and work here full-time and they can't afford, you know, the prices that out-of-state
and out-of-towner comes in and then they do all these things.
Yes, exactly. So it's, so the state made that carve out and it's being used by quite a few people. To get a break on their taxes. And the state has made it relatively easy to meet that burden of proving that it's a long-term rental. So it's only a one-year requirement. You just have to rent it out for more than 30 consecutive days within 1 year of your closing. Mm-hmm. And there's no recurring, you know, you don't need to show proof to them year after year that you're doing that.
Okay.
The state, it just requires that you file a form saying that you're doing this. And that's essentially it.
Okay.
And, you know, whenever I'm speaking with people who plan to use their properties as long-term rentals, I always go over the same things, you know, make sure it's an arm's length transaction. You're actually entering into an agreement with somebody to rent your property out, that they're actually paying you money,
right?
Fair market value. It's not like you can just say, I'll give it to my mom for, you know, $50 and you know, get this huge tax break. You know, you gotta actually make the effort to get a tenant in there and, you know, have them pay fair market value on the rent.
Yeah.
But it's something that is new and developing. Like I said, it came into effect last August. So that 1 year mark just passed. So we're finding out now, or we're about to find out what the state is going to do to investigate these claims, you know, if they're going to contact tenants, if they're going to contact the landlords just to confirm, you know, whether they're actually using the property like that or whether they're trying to kind of pull a fast one on the state to put it bluntly.
Absolutely. So taxes can be rolled into things, right? You don't have to just come out and pay all the taxes at once, do you?
Well, so on these, they're always included in your closing costs.
Okay.
They need to be paid within 30 days of your closing. So we just always collect it at closing and then remit it to the state.
Your profit will go down. Whatever, there's profit.
Yeah. For the seller, certainly needs to be in your budget, and for a buyer too, because you know you might have been saving money for a long time, and have a general idea of what your closing costs are going to be. But you know, if you're buying a property for you know $500,000, and you find out that I need to pay 3.62% on top of that, you know, it's a pretty significant amount people need to take into consideration. So definitely, it's a conversation I have with every buyer and seller when I first speak with them, because it's, you never want to give them that information the day before closing or the day of closing to say, hey, you know, this is what you're giving to the state. I always, you know, prepare people for what they need.
You're
to give
super
to the state.
Smart. Yeah. That's why you're a real estate lawyer.
Transparent. I try to be very
absolutely.
Open.
Absolutely. I mean, you have no notes in front of you at all. It's already on the top of your head, percentage-wise, down to the second, whatever.
Like I said, I have conversation with
all the time.
Every client I have.
Yeah.
So it's
a couple
times a day, usually.
Yeah, you know it, the back of your head.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Great. That's some great information right there. And hardly anybody goes into this type of thing, you know? So we appreciate you doing this for us, for taxes wise. Yeah,
for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's important to know. And it's an area that, you know, I get a lot of questions on. And, you know, if we don't know something, we just contact the Department of Taxes directly just so that we're, you know, sharing correct information and making
absolutely.
Sure people are going the right way.
This is why we need you. This is why we need real estate lawyers, which you said in other podcasts. This is why.
Yep, just one of the many reasons.
Just protect yourself. Yeah,
exactly.
You know what you're doing. All right. Well, I appreciate you so much coming on. Yeah. So anyway, that's it, right?
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Okay. That's pretty easy to know. And if you have any questions, we can contact Kevin over at SkiCountryLegal.com. You can also check out our past episodes right there at WTSARadio.com.
All right. Sounds good.
Thank you very much, Kevin. You have yourself a good one. I'll see you in 2 weeks.
Sounds good.
All right.
Thanks,
Tom. Take care. Bye-bye.
See ya.